On Monday, August 8th, Tall Can Audio hits 1,000 episodes.
Wait, that's still on? Who could possibly still care?
And the gang is all here to celebrate.
It's euphoric. It's got to be close to nirvana. It's outstanding.
For the first time ever, Maddie, Michaela, Rob, and Matt are all live in studio together.
It's happening, you guys! It's happening! Oh, my God, guys! Oh, my God! I wish you all were here!
Is this likely to go well?
Just check my notes here. No!
At least it will make a lot of noise.
Boom. Here comes the boom.
1,000 pods and 1,000 pints.
I don't think I've ever been as proud in my entire life.
TCA 1000 drops Monday, August 8th, wherever you find low-quality podcasts.
Fuck, it's out of control. Shit.
Aren't you that guy everybody hates?
No, man, no.
This is Tall Can Audio. Follow along on Twitter at Tall Can Audio or at Facebook.com/Tall Can Audio.
Just do it!
What's happening, everybody? Welcome into the Tall Can Audio podcast. My name's Matt Robinson here, coming to you from our studio in beautiful Bytown, Canada. Joined tonight for the first time, it's been a while, Maddie Lang is back. What's happening, man?
You dusted me off. You went deep
into the cabinet. It's hard to find anybody to come into
deep
work.
Deep in the cabinet. You pushed all the fresh stuff away. Reached at the back. You found some Sunny D in the back.
Yes.
Nice. Luckily, I'm made of all sugar. I don't go bad.
Oh. Well, vodka, rum, anything alcohol that won't come up. And it just seemed over the summer there was a couple times where I'd reach out a little bit, and your small business was a little bit less small, it seems, every time I talked to you. And I know things are a little crazy, so whatever, but got plenty to talk about now. I'm glad you're back, man.
Yeah, pleasure to be back with the team.
Yeah.
And, you know, especially now that there's some bigwigs on the team nowadays.
Seriously, we're doing all right. We just keep knocking them down, man. So lots we want to get into, but we always start in the same place. What flavor of White Claw are you into tonight?
You know what? I drank all the White Claw last night, so okay. I had to dig deep. Going with an Old Reliable today is, we're in the colder months now, mm-hmm. and I pulled out a Tank House from Mill Street tonight for the show.
I haven't had one of those in a long time. For a long time, it was a go-to around the TCA studio, man. That's a nice beer.
Definitely, yeah. It, just walking around the LCBO, and I caught my eye, and I couldn't say no.
Right. Let me ask you before I get into, have you noticed, I think I've talked about this on the show once or twice over the last few months, does it feel different to you? Does it taste a little different to you? Or is it all in my head since they've been bought up by Labatt? Are you noticing any change at all in the Mill Street beers?
Just taking a little sip to double check my answer there. Want to give you the most authentic answer possible, right?
Yeah, so, of course.
I've had a couple organics over this summer, mm-hmm. and I can't tell you that tasted much different. To be honest, the Tank House tastes pretty similar.
Right. It still might be all in my head. Like, I've got that anti-Labatt thing going for me that I...
Oh,
like,
for sure.
I'm just kind of like, they changed something, and they probably didn't. Like, I
yeah, yeah. I mean, nothing wrong with Labatt Blue, right?
Oh,
I mean,
God. Just... you know me, man. I grew up in a Molson house. We don't do the Labatt Blue thing. So if someone was going to buy up Mill Street, I wish it would have been Molson and not Labatt, but...
Yeah.
I'm into the, this is called the the Hucklejack Lager from Dirt Road Touring, which I'd never heard of
Where's
before.
Where's that?
On the Untappd app, which was the only place I had time to do any kind of quick research, it says they are located in Canada.
Good
narrows
stuff.
It down.
Good start.
I didn't have time to Google it before we got on and got going here, and but it says it's a contract brewer, which, you know, is kind of, you use facilities to kind of brew a small run of your own thing rather than being a full brewery. So I don't know too much about Dirt Road Touring, but we're gonna try the Hucklejack Lager here today, and it won't lie to you, last night went a little later than I expected. I was feeling a little rough today and didn't want to get too crazy, so we're gonna stick to a lager tonight.
Here we go. Oh, no, that can't be it. Dirt Road Brewing?
No, Dirt Road Touring, it says.
Touring, yeah. I was like, I found another one that's in Portland, but I was like, that can't be right.
That's not even Canada. That's the only information they gave us.
Wait, aren't we taking Portland back?
That'd be all right. It's a
WHL deal.
That'd be one of those cities I would take back, like, or take, or whatever. And there apparently, I was in Portland in 2015, and as we're flying in there from Vancouver, we're sitting with a woman who's a chef, a food critic in Portland, writes for a newspaper, and she said that that's one of the things Portland's known for, it's a craft brew town. They're very hip and trendy with all their local craft breweries. So if we're going to take city back, that'd be one of them. I think we got
exactly.
Before we get into some of the NBA talk that I want to hit on here tonight, on Sunday is Grey Cup Sunday, but we got no Grey Cup this year. And if you're interested in such things, back on Wednesday morning, put out a show with Michaela Schreider. She's all about the CFL, all about her Shania Twain halftime shows, all about it. But we talked all about our Grey Cup week festivities when it was in Ottawa and some memories of the game. So if you're feeling like you're missing a little CFL, I'd encourage you to go check that one out on Grey Cup Sunday. But Maddie, in 2017, during that Grey Cup, we brought you to Ottawa. We asked you to set aside all the Patriots gear and try and get on board with the CFL for a weekend, which isn't always your bag. What are your kind of memories of the Grey Cup game or the weekend you spent in town? And did we do anything at all to warm your blackened Patriots heart to the CFL?
You know what? You hit it on the head there. It was really about the experience of the whole weekend with you guys. As well as the game. I mean, the game was memorable for a snowstorm coming through.
Yes.
You know, it was, I think, Thursday night when I got in, it was like, you know, 12, 13 degrees in Ottawa, and it quickly dropped to minus 10 for game time or something crazy. So you give me the full CFL experience, obviously, right? So, I mean, that was definitely a memorable game. Obviously, the Argos pulled off the upset, too, which was fun for me to jump on the Argos bandwagon.
The double Bluchador.
The weekend. That was the weekend of the double Bluchador.
So, for those who weren't around all that time, Maddie had the Luchador wrestling mask completely decked out for the Argos. And so we dubbed him the double Bluchador for the weekend. And that mask put on some miles.
It put on some miles. It was a big hit at the Argos party.
Yes.
Less of a big hit at the Stampeders party. They were not so big on us. Nobody threw anything at us, so that, I guess, was a win for us.
For sure.
But it was a little touch and go there at times at the Stampeder party. But, you know, just like the way – and Ottawa was a great city for this, right? Like just the way they organize all the team parties from the fans – just nice and easy to get around to. And there was a lot of great parties and, you know, people we met along the way. That was something that I had never really experienced being, you know, living in Toronto. We don't have that same CFL experience here in Toronto, right? So that was really cool. And those are the memories that I really think about because I think I try to black out the snowstorm we sat through.
We were like sitting out on Bank Street too, right down in the end zone. And like, it's not like we had great seats or anything, but yeah, it was an exciting game, big finish, and the blizzard makes it a little bit more memorable. And we lost Rob for somewhere in the second quarter. He just disappeared for a while. I don't remember when he came back. But.
Well, I remember him trying to be a big guy about it, about the snowstorm and the winter. And I feel like he had a bomber jacket on or something.
Yeah.
And like that was it. No gloves, no toque, just a bomber jacket. And I'm pretty sure he went to hide in the washroom for a good quarter to warm up.
That's probably where he was, yeah. And we missed the Shania dog sled performance that everybody remembers because we were in line back at the beer stand or the outhouses, but they had monitors everywhere and everything. But I got to be honest with you, you know, you mentioned the Stamps party. It was fairly, like, came off kind of corporate, right? Or
very much so.
The Argo party was probably the smallest of the good ones, but it was the most, like, people were loving it, right? Like, they had a great vibe going. They had the cheerleaders. They had the, I believe there was a band going at different points. And it was jammed there at the Barley Mow on Bank. On the Friday night you referenced, we hit the Spirit of Edmonton down at the Lower Town Brewery. They had a great party going. And the other one, Ryderville, was, you know, that's the one you have to hit. That was our last stop on Saturday night. And people were feeling it in there, too, and having a really good time. So those are the ones that stand out to me. After the Spirit of Edmonton, we went to that Winnipeg one that was like, there was like six people there. Like it was the saddest thing you've ever seen in your fucking life. Like,
yeah, there was six people in there, but I'm pretty sure they bought the double Blue Chidora shot.
That's right. I think
when we got in
when we got there, they did buy us a round of shots. So, I mean, it was worth the trip in, I guess.
Couldn't have been all that bad, right?
Right. But yeah, it's a fun weekend. It's a fun game. And, you know, as you said, and I talked to Michaela a little about this during the show, even when Toronto does get the Grey Cup, it's buried. Like, it's such a huge city, and there's probably two concerts going on during that Saturday night. And, you know, you can kind of walk around the market and then that Bank Street area and find most of the parties in Ottawa. You know, where are they spread out all over the goddamn place in Toronto? Like, it just kind of gets buried. And Ottawa, like a lot of CFL markets, is perfect for these kind of smaller, you know, you make it feel like it's a big deal because it's in a smaller market or a smaller footprint.
For sure. I would say the one time it did feel different was at the 100th Grey Cup.
Yeah.
And that, you know, they basically shut Front Street down. You know, they just, you know, they took one of our most important streets in Toronto and they just shut it down and threw up a bunch of, you know, games and you know, what I call them, activations for fans to come in. And yeah. That was a nice big one, but
they did end up bringing the horse into the Royal York across.
They did. I forgot about that. You're right. They did that, and you know they had all the parties along the convention center, so kind of in bigger spaces. We ended up at a real fun one by accident at Boston Pizza. That's
really
kind of thinking of the name of the place, but yeah, Boston Pizza had thrown a big one, and there was a bunch of CFL players just up there signing autographs and stuff.
Oh, wow.
So, you know, I absolutely knew who nobody was. You know,
are you pinball? Are you pinball?
Couldn't pick one guy out of the crowd,
right?
Except that they're 6 foot six and 300 pounds. But, yeah. You know, the vibe in the Boston Pizza was as good as it was going to get.
Sure.
So, you know, the Toronto's tried. It just, like you said, it's so tough in this market, right? You've got the Raptors are, you know, almost 12 months a year now. The Leafs are definitely 12 months a year. You've got to compete with the Jays and TFC during the summer. And like you said, we just get so many concerts in through the city. We're always on to the next thing.
Yeah, for sure.
Right? So it makes it tougher for a smaller, I don't want to say a small market team, but a small market league, really.
Yep.
That being said, I really enjoyed the new return of the old logo for the double blue.
That was pretty cool, eh?
If you saw that come out on Monday, and the only issue I had with it was why they would drop it the same day that the NHL dropped their 31 new jerseys.
I thought the same thing, man.
And again, you're thinking, like, you're a small market. You can't do it. Like,
no.
You know Adidas is going to drop these jerseys.
Yep. No, for sure.
And push it a day.
For those who, right, any other day, there's nothing happening, right? Like, do it Grey Cup Sunday when people would want to be thinking about the CFL, whatever it might be. But yeah, for those who missed it, the Argos dropped kind of a throwback to an older version of their logo that is now going to be the logo again. But they did it on Monday, which was the same day the NHL dropped all those reverse retros, and the whole thing just got completely buried. Whoever was running that either wasn't paying attention or, you know, deserves a kick in the ass, because it was completely predictable that it was going to get lost like that. But it's a sharp logo. I do like it.
Yeah, it's a good idea for them to go back to the classic logo, and hoping, I mean, I'm personally hoping the jerseys look a little bit nicer next year. I haven't seen if they're doing anything with those, but because right now they just kind of look like a practice jersey, to be perfectly honest.
They do. The Hucklejack here so far, it's a little plain, but that's, I guess, what you'd expect out of a lager. It's got almost maybe just a slight fruity tinge to it of some kind. I'm not sure what I did, but it's nice. I don't mind it for a contract and for a lager on a rough Saturday here. So as we move over to the NBA, big news today for the Raptors was Fred VanVleet returning. It's a 4-year deal. The fourth year is an option. I believe it's an $85 million contract. And I read just before we fired this up, that is the largest contract ever signed by an undrafted player. So cool for Freddie, and I know most Raptor fans are pumped to have him back. What was your first reaction when you saw it, and you know, were you confident all along that this was going to get done?
I was definitely getting more confident as kind of the beginning of the trade season started on Monday as well for the NBA, and the stuff going through draft day. It looked more and more like the teams that everybody thought might have a chance to get him were filling those roles.
Right.
So I think by the end of it, it came down to like, you know, Chicago, the Knicks, and Toronto kind of were the teams that people thought he could go to. Mm-hmm. So, you know, nobody's going to really throw their career away with the Knicks anymore. So that was kind of out. And again, Chicago's not very good. I think Detroit might, I think, kind of took themselves out by making some other moves as well. So it really, you know, it looked like the match made, you know, was there anyways, right? So, yeah. And even talking to a couple friends yesterday, everybody was pretty confident that he was going to re-sign at some point. And for, you know, he ended up getting $21-22 million a year, right? So I think, you know, it's basically where everybody thought he was going to land. Right. So a lot of anxiety from Raptor fans. And I think he's just a guy who's going to continue to grow into that role. Right. So come year three, he's going to look like a huge bargain, I think.
Well, and it says something, too, about this franchise that, as you mentioned, all that hand wringing, like that's what Raptor fans are used to. There's so many, even now that they've won a championship and they've been competitive for so many years, over the years, so many stars have left or guys have said they're not coming to Toronto. And there's all this hand wringing. And at the end of the day, Toronto's the best fit. It's the best team. It's where he's comfortable. And he goes, yeah, I want to stay here. I want to do. And the money helps, obviously.
But $21 to $23 million.
Sure.
Seems, you know, like pretty.
You can make yourself comfortable anywhere at that price. So, but I think it says something about this franchise that, you know, maybe fans need to be a little more confident that this management group with Webster and Ujiri is going to get these things done, and players are more willing to come here now. And, you know, it's an interesting deal. I think it slowly transitions between, you know, from Kyle to him, as you've said, over the course of the contract. It'll look like a bit of a, you know, is that sort of your take on it, or your understanding that this is kind of the transition zone from one to the other?
It definitely looks that way, right? And there was a great picture that ended up on Instagram. I don't know if it was Fred's Instagram or the Raptors' Instagram, but it was a picture of Fred, Kyle Lowry, and Malachi Flynn, their new draft pick.
First round pick.
Just kind of lined up, running a drill. And you look at them and they all look like the same guy, you know, from a body standpoint, right? So, I mean, Malachi Flynn's obviously much younger and a little bit thinner at the moment, but he'll definitely fill out. But they're all, you know, they're all kind of play the same game, right? Really intense game, really focused. Not, you know, your traditional superstars, but guys who just work.
Right.
And tenacious is a word that keeps getting thrown around with when you talk about those three guys. So it's almost becoming, you know, the Raptors have a type of point guard now.
Yes.
Kind of like, you know, we think about in the NFL, the Ravens have a type of a linebacker they like. Mm-hmm. Right. Or Green Bay has that classic quarterback they like.
Sure.
The Raptors are slowly becoming a team with a true cultural identity, which is something the Raptors, you know, let's be honest, did not have for 20 odd years or so, right? You know, our identity was letting people leave off in free agency.
Right.
Big change.
Do you, I'd seen a couple takes online and it sort of suggested that if Van Vliet had left and if they were to lose Serge, you're probably looking at a team scrapping it out at round 7 or 8 just to get in. Now that Freddie is back, they will be kind of looking like they could contend in trying to grab one of the top 4 spots. And if Serge was to return as well, then they're solidly in that top 4 in the East. Is that sort of, do you agree with that?
Yeah, I think so. I think the hardest thing for them right now is, without a guy like Serge, what do they do up front? Because it doesn't look like they're bringing Marc Gasol back, or Marc Gasol might not even play in the NBA.
Right.
They're kind of conflicting reports, right, coming out about that. But, I mean, in today's NBA, you should be able to get a big man at a reasonable deal, right? So there's a lot of talk about being linked to Tristan Thompson and bringing him back home to Toronto, which would give TMZ a reason to come up to Toronto, I guess. Or I guess maybe not. Go to Tampa.
Yeah, true. Yeah, we'll get to that.
So I think it's it's no longer that big money position where you want to be throwing money around too much. I think fans obviously want to see Ibaka come or stay here in Toronto, but if he decides to move, I think the Raptors pivot pretty quickly and start locking up some low risk, high reward guys.
Right. What do you think of what are you prepared to commit to Serge for? Like, how long term would you go? How much, like, are you worried about him dropping off at all?
You know what? Not really. Right. And everything that keeps getting talked about, even with other teams, is like 1 to 2 year deals with him. There's a thought too that if he takes a 1 year deal, he'll be able to actually ante up a little bit more next year when the salary cap goes up.
Yeah.
And that's probably his best option. So there's crazy things out there that he might take a mid-level exception to play on a contending team, or that he could get signed for, around $15 to $16 million a year. So he's a guy that I don't think anybody really understands where he's going to end up or what his role on a team is going to be, but he's definitely super sought after. And I wouldn't be surprised to see him in a different jersey next year, put it that way.
What else are you then hearing or expecting now that free agency is open? What do you think the need is that they need to address and maybe somebody that you'd like to see them take a run at?
Oh, definitely. I mean, they're definitely looking big man, right? I mean, their guards position's pretty set. I think we're expecting, Terrence Davis. If you caught it, he had a little run in with the law.
I saw that.
And domestic abuse issue. So he's more than likely on his way out once the process has run its course.
Yeah.
But I think with Flynn there in at the guard position, they're going to be pretty solid. So they're pretty set on the guard on the wings as well. I wouldn't be surprised to see a guy like Norm Powell get moved for a little bit of help somewhere else.
Yep.
I think everybody's kind of earmarked him as a guy who, at $10 million a year is pretty reasonable salary, and on some non-playoff teams could be a starter again.
Right.
So I think people are expecting him, them to be kind of kicking tires around that. I don't buy any of the James Harden news that Toronto might be interested in him. I don't think he fits here at all. Now, I mean, he's still probably a top five player in the NBA, but I don't think he fits what we do as a team or a culture here. So I'm not buying into that too much, but
that would completely shake the foundation of that whole team if you do something
definitely.
Like that. Yeah. Changes the whole lineup. Yeah.
And it definitely feels to me like, as much as it hurts, because you always want your team to win, but it definitely feels like a reloading year.
Right.
Like, where last year felt like, okay, we're going to run it back, try it again, even without Kawhi. This year feels like definitely, okay, we're going to try some things out before we reload next year.
Right.
We're kind of setting everything in play for next year a bit. So, it's going to be an interesting season as a Raptor fan either way, but I actually really don't expect him to go out and make any big moves. A lot of the moves, like every other sport right now, first day of free agency is full of bad contracts, right? And just awful contracts. The worst one I think I saw was Gordon Hayward.
I was going to ask you about that Charlotte, right? What is that?
Let's be honest, he's not my favorite player anyways. I always thought he was a little bit of a great white hype type of guy.
Okay.
He was in Utah and then Boston, classic. We love our white three-point shooters team, right? but 4 years at $120 million for a guy who's, made of glass and who really wasn't that good of a player, even when he was healthy in Boston. So I don't know what the hell Charlotte's doing. They've got some of the worst contracts in the league. They've got another former Boston guy in Terry Rozier, Nicholas Batum, guys who are just signed at over $100 million contracts, or $20 million contracts a year, right?
Yeah.
For essentially bench guys.
Jesus.
So just continually, and you wonder why Charlotte finishes 10th every year in the East. And that's basically why, we just like to ignore them a little bit.
Sure, fair enough. What do you think of this idea going around that, and you've sort of alluded to it already, do you still view this team as a contender? You said they're going to kind of retool here more than rebuild or reload. What is a, whether it's Serge or someone comparable, you know, do you still expect this to be a top four team in the East?
Yeah, I think they're a top four team. I mean, lowest, you know, they're going to finish in that 4 to 5
right
range. I think that's kind of expected. The Bucks have made some moves. I don't think the Bucks are truly any better overall this year. Jrue Holiday was their big catch that they made the trade for. He's a great defensive player, but they, you know, he doesn't shoot the ball well. Yeah. So, you know, and their problem has always been scoring in the playoffs. They really rely on outside shooters with Giannis in the middle. So I can't really see them being any more of a contender unless Giannis just takes massive strides again.
Mm-hmm.
The Celtics are kind of like the Raptors, where they're kind of stuck a bit here about what they can really do this year unless they do a huge overhaul.
Yeah. Brooklyn's going to jump into the mix, wouldn't you think? Like,
you got Brooklyn definitely going to jump into the mix.
Yeah.
And, you know, everybody's waiting on what the 76ers are going to do, right? New coach, new general manager, even though they hired everybody backwards. and you got two stars who everybody's still going, is this going to work? And Simmons and Embiid, and just wondering, does this work this year? Does this work?
Mm-hmm.
Or, you know, do they make a run at a guy like James Harden? So, you know, when you shake those teams out and you add the Heat in there as well, that's your top five.
Right.
The only one I could really see the Raptors taking a run at if he became available is Victor Oladipo.
That'd be interesting.
Just as I think about it, yeah. A guy coming, you know, a year and a half now post, he tore his quad tendon into the knee there. So he wasn't quite the guy we remember last year when he did come back. But, you know, that's a pretty important tendon and muscle in your body, sure, especially when you're a basketball player. So, yeah, you're back after a year, but you're not going to be competing at that same level.
Mm.
So I think he's a guy who's going to be much better this year, but he's made it quite clear that he wants out. And he's got a year left on his deal. So that's a guy that Boston or Toronto can make a run at, you know, put a smaller package together as a rental player and see how that, you know, when you get to really see, do you want to commit to a guy like
test
this?
Test drive it a little. Yeah.
Yeah. So, I mean, that's probably the biggest move I could see the Raptors really making in these guys that are, seem to be available.
Right.
But, you know, Raptor fans, you know, don't go burning your jerseys just yet. You know, we'll be, you know, at worst, fourth or fifth. Yeah. Please don't be that guy. especially when they drop those really nice Jordan brand jerseys later this year.
Yes.
You're not going to want to burn those because I'm sure they're going to take about $200 of our money for those. So don't go. If you want to do that, just send me the money.
There you go. We like that. We'll set up a PayPal here for.
Yeah, exactly.
The other big news out of the Raptors last week, and you alluded to it a few minutes ago, was that the government did not give them and the NBA permission to set up shop at Scotiabank Arena. So they will be at Amalie Arena down in Tampa Bay, home of the Lightning. I can't imagine you were shocked by the news, but what was your first take?
I hate it.
Okay.
I just straight hate it. You know, that's I know I sound like Captain Blowhard here now with these hot takes, but it just seems really stupid. Don't get me wrong. I mean, there's a lot of logistical issues for sure. The borders aren't technically really open between the two countries right now. Anyways,
and Toronto at some point here over the last few years got put on the map as a place that NBA guys like to enjoy the nightlife, right? Like,
yes,
if they're coming in for a Sunday afternoon game or something, you can bet if you're downtown, you'll run into some NBA guys around. So, whether or not whether or not that's a factor as well, like the Blue Jays, the precedent in my mind was set. And as long as the border was still closed, I don't love it any more than you do, but I wasn't surprised by it at all. Like, they kind of already laid it out. Yeah, no, we're not bending on this, right? And so with that in mind, it just became, I guess, what's the best situation?
Yeah, and I know, it kind of feels like, you know, even though fans weren't going to be in the stands, it feels a little bit of a letdown to people in Toronto.
Yeah.
You know, just having them here and giving the city a little bit of that feeling of normalcy.
Right.
Seems really tough. And you got to, I have to expect that these guys, you know, other leagues are traveling. You know, Major League Baseball had some trouble at the beginning because people weren't taken seriously.
Right.
But you look in the European soccer leagues, and their success rate has been pretty good in season of keeping everybody healthy,
mm-hmm.
because these guys understand that their contracts are at risk,
right?
By getting sick. So, you know, in basketball, it's a much smaller team, much smaller medical staff, just everybody traveling with you. It is really just a little bit of a disappointment. I think from a fan perspective, you know, for the team, maybe it doesn't make much of a difference for them. You know, most of the guys rent houses here anyway, so it'll be
Nate
interesting.
Pearson telling them, come on down. They're the Blue Jays star prospect. Says Tampa's beautiful. You're going to love it. So,
well, listen, nobody's got a problem with Tampa, right? No. It's the rest of Florida that we have problems with.
For
so.
Sure.
Actually, that arena is beautiful too.
We it really is.
Checked out last year, and just literally 2 weeks before the world got shut down,
right?
And it was a gorgeous arena. Just
I forgot about that. You're down there for a Leaf game, and
yeah,
you're at a game, Leaf game down there.
Yeah, we caught Tampa and the Panthers.
Okay,
So yeah, nice little. I mean, traveling
state
with,
rivalry. Yeah.
10,000 other Leaf fans for the weekend.
Were you? If it wasn't going to be Toronto, did you think one of the other, like we heard Nashville, that to me didn't seem likely given the geography, although Tampa's not really any closer to the division mm-hmm. rivals. And I think I also heard at one point Louisville was on the table, but a few of the players said with everything that went on there, mm-hmm. they weren't in love with that idea. What do you think of it being Tampa? And do you think for a year they may even realign a little bit, or will you just make this work?
I think they just make it work this year with it just being a Tampa thing or the Toronto Raptor thing, right? I really thought they were just going to put them, you know, in
I wouldn't mind seeing them in the Southeast, man. I'd be okay with that.
Jeez, I mean, there's an easy way to get, you know, all you got to do is play the Heat, right? Much yep. easier division for the Raptors to
for
get
sure.
through.
You're right, though. Newark was on the table. Yeah.
That we'd have to watch a lot of Trae Young games. And his that awful haircut he has would be killing us every time we watch the game. Listen to the announcer try to sell him to be better than Luka Doncic, which is just absolute insanity. So, you know, just one of those crazy things, right? But, yeah, you know, I really just thought from a standpoint of you put them up in the Northeast somewhere.
Yeah.
And just make that travel a little bit easier on all the teams would make sense.
Well, even if it's in one of the cities – be in Philly, be in Boston, where you're already yeah. going to be set up, right? Like
exactly. The only thing I can think of is maybe there's like, oh, Snowbirds, Toronto, Tampa. This makes sense.
True enough.
You know, we're just going to do this. So, but, you know, maybe it is a little bit nice for those guys, you know, get them out of the cold at least for a couple months until things start to shift. And again, this is all going to be malleable, right? I mean, for the Raptors, you know, if the border opens up come January.
Yeah, you can come on home.
Know, let's say, I don't know, something crazy like January 20th or something to give out a specific date, rather large date.
Yeah.
You know, with that and the first couple batches of a vaccine, you know, looks slated to come out around that time. You know, things might change, you know, it could come to playoff time around May. And we could start having them back here and maybe even having a couple fans in the game
right.
As well. So, you know, like I said, it sucks. You want to just, you know, see them posting pictures in Toronto and
sure.
little, you know, little stuff
it's
like
home
that.
Team. It is. It, yeah. It's weird when you were watching the, you know, I was far more, you know, watching the Blue Jays. It was just, mm-hmm. it was just strange, right? Like
I could not watch the Blue Jays. I couldn't do it. It just didn't feel normal.
Right. Outside of the Raptors then, who else are you looking at as we are in the early moments of the offseason here in terms of the trade season, the free agent season, and who else has stood out to you so far that you thought made solid moves?
I hate to say it, but the Lakers. You know,
yeah.
Lord knows I hate the Lakers, but, or at least I hate LeBron,
yeah.
but, you know, they went and added, Schroeder or very early on. They got out of that Danny Green contract. There's some talk about Lakers being a place where Marc Gasol ends up as well.
Hmm.
But they've made some good moves. It looks like, I mean, no surprise, Davis is going to re-sign. It's just a matter of when. And them working out, you know, a 3-year deal versus a 4-year versus a 5-year deal or something like that.
Right.
And you know they're going to add more. That's the thing with the Lakers, right? You know they're going to add somebody right before the season starts or halfway through the season.
Right.
When somebody gets cut, they'll add another star player. So they've set themselves up well. And I really like a little of what the Bucks did. They tried to go get Bogdanovich. And this is a kind of an interesting story. It was supposed to be a sign and trade on a restricted free agent.
Okay.
They, of course, like every other team, is tampering out there, and even included Giannis in the tampering. So the news of this breaks during draft, and everybody starts reporting it and saying, "Wow, this is great! This is this great 3-point shooter. This really changes the Bucks." Well, except the fact that that was clear tampering and telling the league that you've already worked this deal out 2 days before. So now the league didn't come out immediately and say anything. What got reported was Bogdanovich didn't want the trade.
Right. I remember reading that much.
So that's the initial story coming out.
Yeah.
And everybody then kind of kept digging in. And I think they found out that the league basically came out and said,
"You're not
we can't let
this
you
deal.
Do this.
Yeah.
So come up with another story."
Right.
You know, and further that, on Friday, you also can't sign him anymore.
Right.
So it doesn't look like they're going to dock them any picks or any financial penalties or anything like that. But that was kind of an interesting story. So interested to see what they're doing. The Warriors not that I think they're going to be super contenders this year, but
especially after the other news that came out about Klay.
Yeah, so it's going to be just interesting to see what they've done. They brought in a guy in Kelly Oubre onto their team as well. Listen, a guy like Kelly Oubre playing with Steph Curry, he's going to look like a much better player. Much, much better player.
Right.
Is he going to be Klay Thompson? No. But they're also not going to be the second worst team in the league anymore, right? So, you know, I feel it's a weird thing with the Warriors. It feels like everybody's kind of forgotten them along the way.
Yeah.
So, you know, and after 5 years of
absolute
dominance,
big stars moving to California and then the injury troubles they run into, it's hard to hard to stay on top of the pile, right?
Yeah, you know, really unfortunate injuries with that team, and you know, gosh, with Klay out again, I actually think the Achilles is a much harder injury to come back from, especially for a basketball player.
Yeah,
and the list of Hall of Famers is at who have suffered an ACL tear and come back is one. So it's not, and you know, you gotta think that's the for you anatomy buffs at home, it is the tendon that attaches from your calf, so the back of your lower leg, into the heel, and it helps you jump and run. Two things you need to do a lot of in basketball. So,
seems like crucial movement.
It's fairly crucial. And the repair, you know, the repair is tough. Athletes typically are, you know, will get the repair done, or almost always get the repair done. Us general, you know, armchair quarterbacks typically don't get the repair done anymore, and we just let it heal in a boot.
Okay.
Either way, it sucks.
Right.
it's a lot of pain, and it's a lot.
And he's
of
done for the year, like
he's already done for the year.
Yeah,
it's a 12-month injury.
Wow.
For a basketball player, at least, and it is a career killer. You know, a lot of guys later on in their careers who have sustained those typically come back and play a handful of games and just stop.
Yeah. Wow.
The most recent successful one, Boogie Cousins hasn't returned yet.
Right.
The other one was Wesley Matthews, who he might actually be a guy who also went to the Lakers just now, but he was a guy who got signed to a max deal before he turned his Achilles. And I think he just signed for like $5 or $6 million on his next contract. So it's a significant issue for a player. We'll see how Kevin Durant does off of his.
Mm-hmm.
I think Klay has an opportunity to be somewhat close to what he was, because he's such a dynamic shooter
right.
and doesn't need the ball. Right. the amount of time the ball's in his hands before he lets it go out of the pocket is infinitely small.
Maybe he can find a way to work around it and get open.
He might be able to adjust a little bit better, but it might move him to the later part of his career a little bit quicker than we probably hope to see him do that.
As we wind this down, Toronto got some rough news on Friday, but it seems like your clinic is, and obviously people in that industry, are going to be able to stay open. What do things look like down there? How are things going at Foundation Physiotherapy?
The citywide, the vibe is not great right now.
Yeah.
A lot of people upset, a lot of people understanding. It definitely has raised the fear alert here a little bit more again. Say we're lucky, we're unlucky, you know, we're finally being deemed as essential workers, which is nice. Mm-hmm. And our job, you know, as physios and massage and chiropractors is basically to make sure people don't have to go to the ER.
Right.
Right. So, we stay masked up. We've got goggles and face shields and stuff like that. We're keeping ourselves safe and try to put everybody's mind to ease a little bit with it. And, there's the inherent risk that we do see a lot of people throughout the day.
Right.
We've had these talks off air just amongst ourselves. And, you know, I always think if you're going to be in the medical or paramedical business, you have to accept certain risks to help people.
Yeah.
So, we're trudging along and we're actually relieved to be open and to be able to continue to be integrated within our communities. And sounds crazy, you know, the guy from Toronto talking about communities, but it is a city of neighborhoods, right?
Sure.
In Toronto. So we're pretty integrated into our neighborhoods and with the cultures there. So we're happy to be able to continue to be open and thankful to be open as well, for sure.
And Foundation Physiotherapy is open in several of those neighborhoods. So if you're in Toronto and need a little work done, you can find them just any social media feeds. Just Google Foundation Physiotherapy as well. Maybe you'll see Maddie or one of his good employees. Tell him TCA sent you. Won't get you any kind of discount, but just tell him.
we'll know to talk beer at least.
Exactly. There you go. So what else is going on? You got the injury blog happening right now. Where can people find you on social media? Hit us with it.
We got the injury blog in full swing with the NFL season going right now. So that's at Matt Does Physio on Instagram and at Matthew Lang on Twitter. Because I guess when I set up my Twitter account, I still thought I was a super professional type of dude. So I went with the full name.
So we will share those links as well. Maddie, as always, it's a pleasure, man. Thanks for doing this.
Oh, pleasure's all mine.
All right. Make sure you're following along on Twitter and Instagram at TallCanAudio, Facebook.com/TallCanAudio. And we will see you all next time.
What you just said is one of the most insanely idiotic things I have ever heard. At no point in your rambling, incoherent response were you even close to anything that could be considered a rational thought. Everyone in this room is now dumber for having listened to it. I award you no points, and may God have mercy on your soul.
Thanks for listening. You can get more TCA at tallcanaudio.com or by searching Tall Can Audio on your favorite podcast app.